What's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TMNBaseballFan.com. I had a very interesting topic that I wanted to talk to you all about, and this topic might not be something that you've ever thought about before, but if you're a super collector, it is probably something you think about more than anything else. And the topic has to do with collecting competition. Your competitors, when you're going after big cards. I remember hearing about competition from a player collector a number of years ago on one of the forums. And my gosh, you guys, like, it was so funny because, like, this guy just seemed like he was so on edge and he was so, like, worried, like, extremely nervous over these other people out there in the internet trying to possibly buy cards from him, or I mean out from under him rather, that he wanted. I thought it was like very irrational. And then I became a super collector. It's a real thing, guys. I found out quickly that there's about 5, 6, 7 other Canseco super collectors out there that are very rabid about getting cards. And I had no idea about it. I remember, like, years ago talking about, like, just, you know, on my website, TMNBaseballFan.com, like, throughout the years, I would be so excited to, like, post pictures of mail days and, like, oh, yeah, you know, this lot has, like, a couple serial numbered cards. I'm so pumped. Look, this is a refractor. And, you know, the next picture for the next day, hey, take a look at this. I got a run of 20 refractors, and I've never had 18 of them before. And I didn't really feel what competition was until I was looking for one of ones or rarer cards. That was really the only time that I started noticing it. Now, beforehand, I remember what I was doing was I was looking, and I saw this one of one card that sold for like close to $500. And I remember writing about it, just like mocking, like, come on, that's ridiculous. It wasn't even an impressive card. It just had a little bat chip in it. And like, this is crazy. What kind of person would buy this? Well, come to find out, I'm the type of person, or at least I was, not anymore, but I was the type of person love the almighty one of one card, regardless of what it had, if it was just a little bat chip or whatever. And man, it's kind of funny. I guess it's just a little bit of a sickness you get, I guess, at some point, where one of one isn't enough, or one variation of a certain rainbow isn't enough, so you just keep going and going and going. Now, here's what happens, guys. Whenever you have a card that's numbered out of 10, 5, or one of ones. And nowadays they do a lot of out of twos or out of threes, especially when it comes to Panini and Leaf for some reason. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy things happen when you have more than, say, five people that want a card that's numbered out of five. Even if there's just five people that want a card out of five, every single one of those super collectors are keenly aware of the fact that all five simply might not surface. So if not all of them surface, and let's say there's only three that pop, then there's five super collectors that desperately, desperately want a certain card. Well, guess what happens? The price can go like really, really high. And, so that's where this competition comes in. Had no idea. Like, so there's a lot of ways that this happens, guys. Like, you'll have a lot of sneaky things that happen behind the scenes. You have people that'll talk to sellers while a card is running at auction and try to get somebody to stop the listing in the middle of it. Now that's really a gray area from what I understand, there's people that think it's okay. There's others that don't think it's okay. So as an example, let's say you have a card that has a starting bid of 99 cents. You think it might run for $100 at the end of 7 days. So there might be a buyer out there that says, hey, you know, and let's say the card is up to $12 on day two. Well, you might have a collector message that seller and say, hey, would you stop this auction if I paid you 80 for it or 60 for it? And a lot of times it seems to me that they won't, but every now and then they will. And so I'll tell you kind of my personal stance on it right now is I don't personally like this method of doing things. I don't like cutting in when there's bids. Now, if there aren't any bids, I don't really see too much of a problem of having somebody stop it if there's no bids yet on. If they just listed it, in fact, I've done that in the past, you know, hey, and I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, listen, I'm interested in this card. I'd like to offer X amount of dollars for it, but I don't want to step on anybody's toes, so I'd rather not, I'd rather rescind my offer if you can't respond before somebody else bids on the card. I just personally don't like the practice of doing it otherwise. So that's me. Yeah, it's just me. It's just the way I do it. I wish that everybody else would follow that set of rules, but but that's not how it goes in life. And you know, you can't control what other people do, especially because it's not explicitly against eBay rules. It's just one of those kind of quote unquote unwritten rules among super collectors that you're really not supposed to. You'll get backhanded by the rest of the collecting community, whatever community you're in. Now one thing that's actually not a gray area, it's actually really, really bad, is something that's happened to me a couple times this year. It's by somebody that I know actually too, which is really irritating, like extremely frustrating. It had to do with a one of one a few months ago. I bought it. I was super excited. And the seller writes me, he's like, hey, Tanner, just want to let you know, there's somebody that's offering me extra money for this card that you bought from me already. You know, I don't know what to do kind of thing. It's like, well, hey, please, honor our agreement. I would appreciate it. And he's like, well, yeah, I don't want to mess up, you know, this agreement at all anyway. And, you know, it's rightfully yours, Tanner, you bought it. And so I won't sell that from under you or anything. But there's another guy out there that literally wrote the person and said, hey, I'll give you X amount of dollars more if you sell to me. In my opinion, that's straight up stealing. Like there's no excuse for it whatsoever, no matter how much rationalization or justification you could put toward it. It's just stealing. It's trying to steal a card out from somebody else, especially when a deal's already been made. So, you know, I don't call out people. At least I try not to. But, you know, rather I'd like to make this a teachable moment for people that are listening out there, that if you're found in this situation, if you really want a card, you know, either, you know, try to buy it first, or wait for the next one. But keep your paws off of a card that's already been sold to somebody else. Just stay away from it, because it's not yours. You have no right to it. So all that to say, Thanksgiving, about a week and a half ago now, there was a beautiful card that popped up online. I was so excited. It's probably one of the best one of one Canseco cards that has popped up for sale. Like, gosh, I don't know, you guys, like in years. Like, it's something that's it's that impressive to me. Like, it's so, so cool. And it popped on Thanksgiving morning, and I was the one that bought it. So excited. So, so, so excited. Well, later on that day, apparently I wasn't the only person that was excited about it. The same guy that tried to steal the card out from under me a few months before reached out to this guy and offered more money to him. And so I had to get this message that I was so excited about the card, that his message that I bought from the seller. So excited about it, I got a message from him later on in Thanksgiving. He's like, man, you won't believe it, but there's a guy that is offering me like some good money to bypass you and sell it to him. It's like, it's like, yeah, let me guess who it is. And sure enough, it was. And extremely frustrating, extremely aggravating, especially when it comes to a card that, like, you know, you're super, super excited about. You rightfully got it. And here something happens because somebody thinks that that they're more deserving of it than you are. And they try to steal the card out from under you. And guys, like, that's like dead wrong. You know, so you got to stay away from the cards that you miss. You just got to. It's highly unethical. And, you know, thing is like, over the next like 2 or 3 days, the same guy continually writes to the seller, upping his price. I'll give you X more. I'll give you X more. I'll give you X more. I'll actually drive to you and pay cash. I mean, so needless to say, I'm very thankful that that the seller has integrity, because if he didn't, then I could have lost out on quite possibly one of my favorite cards ever. Yeah, it was really disappointing to hear that this happened from somebody. And you know, so it's just, again, try and make this a teachable moment for everybody else that's listening. If you are caught in the situation, you know, just, you know, really, number one, if you miss out on card, remember there's going to be other cards out there, you know. So, and the whole do unto others as you would have others do unto you, rule is like very applicable here. How would you feel if that happened to you? Well, if you feel pretty awful, then don't do it to somebody else. That's really all there is to it, plain and simple, because it's wrong, you know. But obviously, you know, it's against eBay rules to do this stuff and to offer, you know, cash outside of eBay anyways. But anyway, so yeah, all that to say, this competition thing's real. It's fierce sometimes, and you know, it can, sometimes what happens is, it can get really ugly. So as a seller, you know, if you're in this situation, let me encourage you to do the right thing. If somebody buys a card off of you and, you have somebody else, trying to steal the card out from under them, offering you more money, have integrity, please. Please have integrity and do the right thing, and don't let the bad guys get these cards, because there's no place for that behavior in this hobby. You know, point blank, there's just absolutely no place in the hobby for that behavior. So, you know, and also, again, if you're having to play defense, and, you know, I had a friend that I just talked to the other day that he won a card. A real nice insert card. I'm not sure if I should say what it is or of who, but the seller messaged him and said, "Hey, I had two people offering on this after you bought it." So it's not, certainly not just exclusive to Conseco cards. There's scumbag activity for everybody, it seems like, out there. So, but you know, that's just part of the game, I guess. And all you can do is you can really hope that the seller has integrity, and you know, just really reach out to them and try to work with them and be diligent in keeping an eye out on the tracking number. And you also want to, what you also want to do is you want to look for signs of what people are saying. And, you know, for example, if somebody doesn't update you and they say later, "Oh man, I lost the card," or, "Oh, I'm sorry, I damaged the card." Yeah, I don't know about that. I think a lot of times when you hear that, what that actually means is somebody else offered them a better deal. And so they're not going to honor your agreement that you had with them. So the only thing that I would suggest perhaps is to tell them in all truth, in all truthfulness, what you think is actually truly happening. And, you know, feel free to reach out to eBay and have them check their messages, because they absolutely will. They'll check and they'll see what they have to say. You can find out who's saying it. And yeah, it helps quite a bit. So, you know, you're not helpless. You know, I want you to take heart if you're in that situation. You're never helpless in that situation to have a card just kind of vanish out thin air. You have some action that you could take. And it sounds kind of silly, of course, when we're talking about cards. You know, we're talking about baseball cards, guys. Like, but the thing is, the truth of the matter is that these are can be some very, very impressive one-of-one cards. Like the card that I got, you know, there's two really impressive cards I picked up this year that almost were taken out from under me. They were just stolen. And, you know, it's a terrible thing. It's like you feel like really taken advantage of or run over whenever that happens. So yeah, number one, don't be that person if you lost out on the card. Number two, if you're a seller, don't feed into what the other guys are, these scumbaggy type people are doing behind the scenes to try to steal the card out from under the rightful buyer. And number three, if you are the buyer, it's happening to you, then, you know, remember, you have some sort of recourse. Keep an open communication, open dialogue with the seller, and feel free to reach out to eBay. You know, like you gotta defend yourself, and you know, you certainly cannot let somebody get away with that kind of behavior and let them get away scot-free. It's simply not okay. So, collecting competition. Yes, it's a real thing. And I'm very curious to hear what other of you player collectors and player super collectors deal with. Because for Kinseco, the competition is fierce. Not necessarily as fierce as it was now. Maybe it is, you know, but... And maybe it's just because I don't feel as much, because I'm not going after every single one of one. Like, a lot of these one of one cards out there nowadays, I just don't care about. I don't care a lot. I don't care about the fives or tens or anything either. But if there is a card I care about, I love it. You know, I really, really, really get excited. I get just as excited, if not more so excited, about really special cards nowadays than ever before. But the difference is now is I don't have to, I'm not in this mode of got to have it all. So I guess it's not really, it's basically not me playing the full nine innings of the game. So I'm not feeling, the entire competition like I was before. If there's a, you know, a Panini National Treasures one of one that just has a signature, generally speaking, I'm not going to give a rip about it. If there's a buyback one of one, generally speaking, not going to care one bit of it. Same with a lot of these one of ones that have like plain bat pieces or jersey swatches. I try to get like one special type of card of each kind, like you know, a button, a certain patch, this, that, and the other. So sometimes I'll go after multiples of patches if I really, really, really like them. But, you know, just it's different for me now. So I'm not having this problem as much as far as, you know, feeling competition from all areas, like seeing a card up there and being worried that like five or six other people are are going to go after it, you know, because it's whenever I was super collector, I had that feeling like on every single card that I didn't have. And it's kind of stressful, you know, but still looking back now, like the whole competition situation is still funny to me because I'm not there anymore like where I was. But like, for instance, like vintage stuff, if I'm going after a T206 Cobb, guys, like if I miss one, it's not really a big deal. It's not like a one of one Conseco, which is really funny. But like, for instance, this last auction house run at I think Robert Edwards auctions, it actually had, so first of all, let me tell you the, I talked about this before, there's four Ty Cobb cards in the T206 set. There's the red background, the green background, the bat off and the bat on. And the general consensus is that the red background is the most popular. The green background is most expensive. The bat off is most desirable from an aesthetic perspective, and the bat on is probably trailing on, you know, in the basically kind of holding up the caboose. And you know, look, it's not saying it's a terrible card because it's not. It's still a T206 Cobb. It's a great, 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 great card. But anyway, so the green background, with it being the most desirable out of the four, meaning that, not most desirable, but like the highest priced, at Robert Edwards Auctions, the auction house ended last night, and there was like, I don't remember what it was, like 12 or 13 of them. And like, there's significantly more of these incredible, incredible cards out there of those than there are of these one of ones or F5s of cards. And so the stress can get to you when you're at auction for a card that you know there's only one of and you're in love with it, right? And I've had this happen to me in the past too, where I'm auction, those are the ones I would lose the most because I wouldn't always be the tippy top bidder on a lot of these. And I'll give you a couple examples. There's like a couple prototypes from Upper Deck that were put out there, and they came out, I think, probably about 10 years ago or so, and they went to auction, and it's rumored that there are only like three or four of them out there, maybe five. And so I'm like super excited. I think I'm going to get it, like, because nobody's crazy as I am when it comes to a card that I really want, right? Well, I was wrong. I lost, and that happened to me twice. And the prices of these cards went like super, super, super high. And you know, so it's kind of a big bummer of a feeling where you have a card that runs for 7 to 10 days at auction on eBay. And so what happens during that 7 to 10 days is you have all of the super collectors talking about it. You have images of it dancing in your mind each night. And you're wondering, is it going to go for like a few hundred? Is it going to go for several hundred? Is it going to go for a few thousand? You just don't know. You don't know how crazy the other super collectors are going to go. And you don't know how crazy you're going to go. So you always wonder. You wonder what's going to happen. So as the days go through, like day three, day four, day five, some of these cards that, you know, might only run and hit like $60-$70 through the first several days, and then the last day hits, and then it creeps up to like a couple hundred, and then whammo, like the last few seconds, you're sniped. And your snipe doesn't get it, but somebody else does. And it's too late to do anything about it. And this card that you may never, ever, ever, ever see again is gone. And so if I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of others that have lost out on cards that I ended up winning ultimately, I fully understand because I've been in their position a number of times. The only thing that you could really take solace in is two things. Number one, realize that you're not entitled to these cards. Like, you don't deserve them. You know, they're open, free game to anybody until a deal is struck. But the number two, the thing that's really important to understand is there's no shortage of rare cards. There's a saying that I know that I said in the past, I'm sure others have as well, that when it comes to collecting, a lot of times your absolute favorite baseball card on the planet is the one that you're looking for. And it's the one that you don't have yet. Because once you conquer a one of one or some sort of high-end card, then guess what? You want to go on to the next one. Because the thrill of the hunt is over for that one card that you just picked up. So, yeah, I mean, and a lot of times, guys, like, when it comes to casual collecting, and you're not getting into the super duper rare stuff, you're not going to have to deal with all of these emotions and these crazy other people are trying to steal cards out from under you. It's just not going to happen a lot of times. But when it comes to the like super duper high end one of ones, one of one type cards, that's when people start getting crazy. The green-eyed monster can come out and try to do things that are unethical. And it's really unfortunate, but it's just kind of the name of the game, and you just gotta kind of plan accordingly and, you know, do whatever things that you feel like you need to do to defend yourself and make sure it doesn't happen again. And you know, it's just that's all part of it. And you know, of course, we just hope that that this stops. I mean, this year isn't the first time that I've had people try to steal cards out from under me. I've had some other super collectors that even since then I've done deals with. I don't really hold grudges. I mean, you know, it's really frustrating and all that when it happens, but there's people in the past that have done it to me too. But you know, I personally subscribe to the philosophy that you really should do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. Life is so much better that way, guys. Like, so much better. And to kind of bring this full circle, to kind of close this this talk when it comes to collecting competition, let me tell you guys something. Like, you don't have to be enemies. Like, in fact, one of my clients for web development, he does really, really, really well for himself in the oil and gas field. And he's got competition. But you know what he does? He brings his competition together. And because of how he is in business, he's thriving and he's making everybody else better with him. And I've always admired that about him. I think it's a great philosophy that there's a synergy that you can have among other people that are your competition. And it just works out nicely that way. There's real no sense in burning bridges or whatever unless somebody's just flat out going to, you know, continue to try to mess you over. But you know, it doesn't have to be an enemy situation. It doesn't even have to be a frenemy situation. You can be legitimate, honest-to-goodness friends with fellow super collectors in your own collecting niche, as long as you know that you got to stay away from cards that they've done deals on already. And, you know, be ethical about it. And there's some of the newer guys especially that have come into the Conseco collecting arena recently since I basically have, you know, given up that portion of it. And they're great guys. I really enjoy talking to them. And it's been fun. And it's been enjoyable doing deals with them. And, you know, they're great, valuable resources, as I hope that I'm a valuable resource to them. And yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of you know, doing unto others as you would have them doing to you, I guess. It's funny. It kind of seems like it keeps coming down to that, doesn't it? But it's true. It's very true. You know, obviously not just in collecting, but in life. And I'm still kind of dumbfounded that I'm having to broach the subject on baseball cards. This is like a life lesson that would give my kids, you know. And and unfortunately, there are a lot of adults out there that just simply haven't learned this yet and haven't put it into practice. So that's all I have for you tonight, guys. Yeah, I do wish you the best of luck in your own super collecting or player collecting, team collecting, set collecting, whatever your endeavors are. I do wish you the best. I hope and pray that that you don't have scumbags that that try to steal cards out from under you, because it really can ruin your day, whether they actually succeed or not, because you really kind of have to worry about a card being gone. Yeah, I hope we can all have just a great time together collecting and talking fun stories. And that's what collecting is about, isn't it? Just having a nice community and picking up cards we enjoy and just having a great time. Thank you guys for listening tonight. I hope you all have a fantastic rest of the evening. And please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.